Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I'm an editor here at HowStuffWorks.com. Sitting across from me, as usual, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
Mr. Marks, by mandate of the District of Columbia Pre-Crime Division, I'm placing you under arrest for the future murder of Sarah Marks and Donald Dubin that was to take place today, April 22nd, at 0800 hours and 4 minutes. I think you probably understand where that one came from.
Right? Oh, I know exactly where that one came from. Okay. I've actually seen that one.
Hey, what do you know? What do you know?
Who would have guessed?
Babes in Toyland. So we're going to talk about... It's not from that. Although that would have been awesome. Deleted scene from Babes in Toyland. I don't remember a pre-crime division. Today we're going to do... This is both a blessing and a curse for technology journalists everywhere. We're going to do our predictions episode for the technology stories of 2011.
I remember when we did that episode with Tom Merritt and Veronica Belmont.
Yeah, where we talked about... We
talked about what they like about... tech journalism.
Yeah.
And Tom's face when you actually, y'all couldn't see that. But the look on his face when Jonathan mentioned predictions. And it's like, ugh.
Yeah. It's one of those things that we're expected to do. The worst thing is that we brought it on ourselves.
Yeah.
One told us that we had to do a predictions episode, and then we did, and now we're kind of
stuck.
Yeah, because it's a tradition already.
Well, it's fun, but it kind of stinks because it's so in tech, it's so easy to be wrong.
Yes. As we have proven time and time again. So, with that being said, Mr. Paulette, will you please grace us with your first prediction for the tech of 2011?
That was just lovely.
Thanks.
My favorites are the ones that look like they're going to happen and then swerve. And that may actually happen with this one.
Okay.
You know how Leibniz and Newton were both sort of working on calculus at the same time?
Yes.
And, of course, everyone thinks of Newton. When they think of calculus, or they think of stabbing their calculus teacher.
Right.
Anyway, I came up with this one several weeks ago, and now everywhere on all the sites that have tech predictions, they've all predicted it too.
Okay.
But I thought of it on my own before I saw that.
Which is?
The iPad's getting a camera next year.
All right. Actually, seems like a safe bet.
And in the last few days, so we don't have to give me credit for that one because other people have said it too if you don't want to. But I've seen reports in the last few days on the day we've recorded this in early-ish December 2010 that they're actually manufacturing the next version of the iPad and will have them ready to go as soon as February.
Mm.
So that may happen really quickly in 2011. If they announce it before the end of 2010, do I get credit for that? Anyway, I think it will have one camera forward facing, so that you can use FaceTime with it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I don't know what else is going to be in there. Probably a faster processor, but I've been predicting for a while now that the iPad will get a camera in its next iteration, and that's next year. So there.
The real question is, will there be a dedicated mute button that only mutes the system sounds and nothing else?
I would really like that because I liked the having the screen lock, and now that I don't have it anymore, I really miss it.
Yeah. Yeah, Molly Wood of CNET. She's been screaming about
she's upset about it.
Yeah, she does not like that at all. The fact that feature is gone. All right, so here's mine. I'll stick with Apple. Here's my big one. The iPhone will move to Verizon, but not till 2012.
Really?
Yes. But the announcement that the iPhone will come to Verizon will happen sometime in 2011, but it won't actually make the move till 2012.
That's funny. I was going to predict that it was going to hit Verizon in 2011.
See,
to coincide with its release of the 4G network.
I think that it'll wait a little longer. First of all, I think it'll wait because Apple does not adopt new technology in their devices right off the bat. If you remember, it took they waited a generation before they added 3G to the iPhone.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that there were 3G networks.
Yeah.
And part of that, I think, was because Jobs has this belief that he wants his products to be absolutely the best they can be, and he doesn't want to just jump onto a new technology as soon as it's available. He'd rather wait and make sure that it's a proven one before adopting it.
Mm-hmm.
But another reason is because we've heard through various sources over the years that AT&T and Apple signed an exclusivity agreement that would last around 5 years, and that was back in 2007, and 2007 plus 5 doesn't equal 2011.
Yes, but it hasn't been said for sure.
No, but it's been...
People say that.
It's been hinted at by various sources. So I'm taking that at face value and suggesting that it'll come to Verizon in 2012, but we'll hear about it next year.
Okay. My next one actually relates to Google.
Okay.
And in the days, actually right as we were recording this, Google's Chrome OS launched.
Yes.
Officially.
Yes.
And I think that it will underwhelm and its acceptance in 2011.
Saying that a Google product will underwhelm is also a pretty safe bet.
That's true. I think it's the form factor. I think if the Chrome OS was on a tablet, then it might. But that's a later prediction. I'm coming back to that.
But
I think the netbook market right now is kind of sort of stagnant.
I think Google's really taking the same sort of general approach that Apple's taking in a way, right? Because Apple has two main operating systems, macOS and iOS. The iOS is for their mobile devices,
right?
Which is everything from their smartphones and iPod line to the iPad, the tablets.
Right.
But it doesn't include notebooks.
Right.
Their notebooks are considered computers, not mobile. So even though people might say, well, a netbook is really a mobile device, Apple would disagree. First of all, they don't do netbooks.
Yeah,
but even the Mac Air, which is probably the lightest of their devices, although it's not priced like a netbook is, it runs the Mac OS. It doesn't run iOS.
Well, Mark Zuckerberg agrees, of course. He doesn't think that the iPad is a
Well, no, Apple essentially says the iPad's mobile because it's running the iOS.
Well, he says yes, but Zuckerberg
disagrees.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood what you were saying.
I'm saying Google seems to be agreeing with that strategy because they're using Android for the smartphones and for the tablets. They're using Chrome OS for netbooks and higher up on the computer chain.
Yeah.
So Google seems to be following suit with Apple. They're saying there is this delineation between the tablet world and everything below it and netbooks and everything above it.
Okay, yeah.
But I do think that the Chrome OS, I don't think it's going to take off. But I do think what it's going to do is it's going to push cloud computing to that next level where we're going to see even more web-based services and applications than we already do. And it's going to become even more of a commonplace practice to use these web-based applications both in the home and in business.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually was going to make that one of my predictions, but I think the cloud becoming the norm is already happening. Microsoft's trying to own that.
That's true.
Campaign that's out right now in December.
But pushing something and having people adopt it are two different things.
Well,
because we've seen some technologies get pushed that people just said, not doing it. Nope, sorry. I know you want me to try this, but I'm not gonna.
Did you just hear waves crashing?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Sticking with Google.
So, right. Yes.
Do you have another one?
Do you want me to go again?
Well, I just did the cloud. I can do one. Here, I did cloud-based, but I'll do another one. Hang on. Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. We're going to see a dramatic increase in cyber war in 2011. This is a kind of a gimme. But we're going to see more DDoS attacks. We're going to be seeing a lot more attacks through information technology than ever before in 2011. And those attacks are not necessarily going to come from quote-unquote official sources, like state-sponsored sources. We're going to see a lot of vigilante cyber warfare where we're going to see some person who happens to have enough savvy to either design a tool or just use a tool, because there's some out there that you can just pick up and use, and attack a target on behalf of some cause or another.
So you're thinking specifically of the recent example of WikiLeaks, in which people who are outraged on one side or the other of the argument attacked people, other sites that are involved with the argument.
It's like seeing these private armies being set against targets. They're not fighting. The private armies aren't fighting each other.
Right.
We're not seeing like one botnet square off. Here's another crazy thing. So a lot of these DDoS attacks, they involve botnets, you know, zombie computers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's nothing stopping the fact. In fact, it's quite possible that you could have a single victim computer that is part of two botnets and attacking both sides of the same issue.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have one computer that's sending out attacks on both sets of targets.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it's like having an army full of mercenaries and they're just told, okay, just shoot everywhere.
Yeah.
So that's my next one. That's not a happy prediction. I hope it's not one that necessarily comes to light, but it's hard for me to imagine it otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's see. To go with our earlier discussion, I'm going to say that 2011 is the year of the tablet.
Okay.
Some people might say that it was in 2010, but I don't think it's the iPad. I mean, the iPad sort of got the ball rolling.
Yeah.
But I think when the Android OS that really supports tablet computing is launched, I think that's when it's really going to hit, because then people who don't like the iPad for whatever reason will pick up an Android tablet and find out that they like it for different things. And I think it's possible that the iPad may come with new functionality in the next iteration, too, to let you do more things with it.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. 2010 was not the year of the tablet. It was the year of the iPad.
Yeah.
You know, the iPad was the iPad and then a bunch of also-rans. I mean, even the Samsung Galaxy Tab, which I think was probably at least the best publicized opponent to the iPad.
Yeah.
I don't think that you could really call it a true contender yet.
Right.
I think we're going to see that mature in 2011. So I agree with that prediction.
Yeah, and I think it's simply that, Google has even said, you know, the current version of Android is not meant to be run on a tablet. It's meant to be run on a smartphone. So I think once that happens and it's got a dedicated tablet OS. I think it's really going to change things.
Yep.
And I think lots more people will come out with tablets. And as a relation, my next prediction is related to that, that laptop sales are going to start declining as a result of that. And I mean, it's already happened, but I think it's going to, when that happens, when the, which one is it? Gingerbread?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's supposed to be the,
gingerbread and then honeycomb.
Honeycomb that are really tablet friendly. So, I think that's, you're going to see an actual hit in laptop sales.
Yeah. I had a similar prediction. Mine was that the laptop sales would dip slightly, mm-hmm. but they wouldn't really be cannibalized totally because I think people are just going to realize the same thing that you realized, which mm-hmm. is that the tablets don't really replace stuff that you have. It's
no.
supplemental. So,
yeah.
So I think there's still going to be a need for things like laptops and computers that have more capacity and more capability than your and just an easier form factor for certain tasks than tablets are able to give you. Now, that doesn't mean that tablets are bad. It just means that for certain tasks, netbooks or computers are better.
Yeah, and I think that could be said for the desktop too.
It can really be said for any form factor.
Yeah,
right. Like there are certain tasks that just work better on certain platforms, and that's not a knock to the other platforms.
No,
it's just that it's really the way humans work more than the way the technology works. So yeah, I agree with that. Let's see. Oh, I have one. Here we go.
Sure.
eBay
mm-hmm.
will sell Skype.
Oh, okay.
Because really, I don't know that they know what to do with it. But I think Skype's going to get a new buyer.
All right, then.
I don't know that it will go in an eBay auction. That'd be funny, though.
What about
$2.
What about MySpace?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, you know what? This is the make or break year for it.
Yeah. So I think Fox may sell my. This is an off the cuff, just thought of it prediction. I think Fox will sell it.
I think. That's a distinct possibility. If MySpace doesn't get a real influx of users by, I'd say, by the end of the second quarter mm-hmm. of 2011, I could easily see Fox saying, you know what, we're gonna offload this.
Yeah, cut our losses and go.
Yeah, because, they've made no secret of the fact that this is a make-or-break situation for MySpace.
Yeah.
Well, that was a good one. Do you have another prediction, an official one? Or you did two at once. Should I do another one?
Sure.
Okay.
We kind of actually started doing that a minute ago and then...
Yeah, we did kind of jump around. Okay, so 2011 will be the true battle, the test of the 4G technologies.
Ah, okay. That actually goes with one of mine.
So we're really looking at... And it's... You can argue whether or not these things belong in 4G or not. I'm using that the way the general public uses it.
Okay.
But really what we're getting down to is WiMAX versus LTE and which of the two standards or which of the two technologies is going to really become the next foundation for wireless data transmission.
Right.
I happen to think
mm-hmm.
that it'll be LTE.
Yeah.
And I happen to be a WiMAX customer.
Yeah.
So I'm not happy about this prediction. And I could be wrong. This could be one of those things that just, like, there is no clear winner.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Because GSM and CDMA, do we still have both of those?
That's true. Actually, we've already got the nation's first 4G, official 4G network, and that's MetroPCS's.
Right.
Of course, T-Mobile rolled out a... Next gen 3G.
Yeah, what? They're calling it 4G, but it's not true 4G technology.
It's
they're
not
just saying
4G
that there's 4G speeds.
Yes, yes, they're calling it 4G, but it's an updated 3G, and it actually is faster than 4G technology at its current iteration.
Yeah, this is so confusing.
And that's why there's so much murkiness in there that they can do that.
But yeah, I think really this will come down to WiMAX versus LTE, the really big fight, and we'll see. Maybe there won't be a clear winner, but mm-hmm. I think there'll be someone well in the lead by the end of the year.
Yeah, Verizon's on the cusp of launching its own 4G yeah. network. And my next prediction, it's related, is that AT&T will go ahead and start rolling out its 4G network by the end of next year. It may not be in great capacity. And I've seen different numbers. I've seen 2011 and 2012, I think, both when we research it. But that was some time ago now. And
yeah.
I think now that everyone else is starting to really get on the ball, I think AT&T will too.
That makes sense.
Never mind.
Yeah, I'm just ignoring that. Should I go again?
You just threw that one out.
Okay, so. Let's see. Let me look at... I'm looking through my list. I've got a bunch of these written down. I'm just trying to find one.
Feel free to drop a couple in there.
A new version of the Wii will be announced at E3 or sometime during the year.
Yeah, I was thinking about gaming stuff, and I couldn't really see anybody being ready to do that. Do you think it's going to be high def?
Yeah, I think it's just going to be the Wii high definition. I don't think it's going to be significantly different otherwise. Well, I think it's just going to be the high definition version of the Wii.
Okay.
I think that's as close as we are to a new console system. I still don't see PS3 or... I don't see the PS4 getting announced or the next Xbox getting announced in 20. I said this for 2010. I'm saying it again for 2011. I just don't see it because they've just launched these peripherals, which same reason I gave last year with the Move and the Kinect. It just doesn't make sense to abandon that. Although if both companies pursued it the way Sony did with the PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 2, I could then see maybe a new device coming out if the company said they would continue to support the current generation. Because I mean, Microsoft did not do that. Once they went Xbox 360, that was the end of the Xbox, really, more or less. Whereas Sony was, no, we'll keep making games for the PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
We know it's a really popular platform. So.
Okay.
Now, you want me to do another one, or are you?
I've got a pair that kind of go together.
Hit me with your best shot.
Okay. I think Spotify is actually going to show up in the United States.
Wow. I don't think that at all. But all right, cool. That's right. One that we can. There will definitely be a winner at the end of the year.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
So you think Spotify is going to resolve the issues that are currently preventing it from coming over to the U.S.?
Yes.
And by issues, I mean they're going to...
Lots of legal ramifications.
Right. Make all these agreements, licensing agreements with the various music companies in order to be able to stream the music here in the U.S.
Yes.
Okay.
But it may not necessarily matter. They've already got great competition in the United States from companies like RDO.
Yeah.
And some of the others.
Yeah, you've got so much stuff already. All the streaming music products like Last.fm and Pandora and Groove Shark and all that kind of stuff.
But I have to say, I think there will be another new competitor.
Oh, you do?
And again, this is one that is probably clued in more than anything else. But I think the new streaming Apple store will be online.
Okay, so this was a 2010 prediction of yours, so you're going to stick with it.
I'm sticking with it. Well, we know that they're building a data center in North Carolina.
Yes.
I
think that's just so that they can do a Tar Heels app. That's
okay. I was thinking about this on the way to the office because I was doing this on the way in, and I thought, well, I think that's a safe bet. Now, I was wondering if I'll ask you this. I'm not predicting this, but I'll ask you. Do you think there might be a streaming video component to this too? They'll jump in the fray with Netflix and some of the others?
It's like, possible. I mean, the
if they've got all that,
they've pushed
stuff.
Apple TV pretty hard, but
and Google
but
too.
It's still hard to. It's still hard to.
I don't know.
It's still hard to find Apple TV a truly compelling product when there are other competing products on the market that have a little more versatility.
Yeah.
I mean, it all depends on how dependent you are on iTunes, right?
Yeah.
If you're a heavy iTunes user, then the Apple TV is a great product.
Mm-hmm.
If you just casually use iTunes but you rely heavily on other services, then you may want to look at some other solution to that.
Okay.
All right. Well, okay. So you say Spotify is definitely coming. I say Spotify is not. You say that Apple will launch its streaming music service.
Yep.
Do I want to come down on that one way or the other? What the heck? I'll stick my neck out on this one, too. And this way, we'll definitely have a winner and a loser.
Okay.
I will say that they will not come out with a streaming music service in 2011.
Although
if September rolls around and they don't, then we know.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if September comes and goes and there's no announcement about a streaming music service, then I think that's pretty much the nail in the coffin.
Yeah. You know what? I now that I think about it, I think this is why tech people do predictions.
Yeah.
It's because this time of year is so slow in tech.
Right. Right.
What are we going to write about?
Once you get past Black Friday, then it's slow until you hit CES.
Yeah.
Or if you do have tech news, you're under embargo and you can't talk about it until January 5th.
True.
So
that's good. What are you going to see at CES? What are your predictions?
Ooh, Jeez.
Sorry to put you on the spot. I figured you had something.
Well, I assume, you know, it'll be a lot of 3D technology again.
Yeah.
It's going to be huge. It's going to be even beyond last year. And last year was big. I mean, that's when we started seeing the second tier television companies producing 3D TVs.
Yeah.
We'll also see that for displays. We'll see it for gaming devices. Mm-hmm. It's just going to be one of those things where I think more companies are going to get on board with that technology to try and push it, which that would surprise me if I don't see that. Apart from that, let's see. There's going to be, I think we'll probably see, again, more technology that involves like YGIG technology.
Oh, okay.
Where we see
interesting
devices streaming data to one another without wires. So mm-hmm. we're talking about, I made this prediction in 2010 that we would see this in the market, and we never really did.
Yeah.
But this would be things like your DVD player or Blu-ray player being able to connect wirelessly to your TV.
Yeah.
So you don't have to have a cable. You could actually keep everything out of sight and with a radio frequency remote control, you wouldn't even need a line of sight with your remote to change stuff.
Yep.
It'd be kind of awesome. So I think that'll be there. It's green technology will still be big. Although one of my predictions actually, I think the green technology bubble bursts in 2011.
Really?
Yeah, I think what's going to happen is we're going to see investments in green technology companies, especially the ones that have the flashier green tech. I think we're going to see that kind of drop out a little bit in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to mean that green technology is going away. It's not going to mean that people are no longer concerned about the environment. I think it means that we refocus our perspective on green technology and we look at very specific applications like increasing energy efficiency.
Yeah,
I think that will become the big thing in green tech in 2011 is increase efficiency with existing technology or improved versions of existing technology.
Right.
As opposed to look at this new device that will convert your foot, you know, foot traffic into electricity. I don't think that's going to be as big as here's a battery that will last longer or, mm-hmm. you know, here are solar panels that will have a greater efficiency in converting solar energy into electricity. That's where I think it's going to be.
Yeah. And this one, I'd have a related prediction, but I'm not sure if we're going to be able to, if it's going to be noticeable enough for us to make a call on it without doing some heavy research.
What's that?
So, you know, we can count this as not a prediction if you want, but I think there will be more investment, R&D, into alternatives to using rare earth metals.
That makes sense.
Because I've already seen that people are thinking about other kinds of metals they can use, and a lot of that's used in green tech. There's a lot of rare earth stuff in wind power.
Yeah.
Nearly a ton in every turbine?
Something like that.
Something like that?
If you guys listen to our rare earth metals podcast, then you remember that the real problem here is that almost all of the rare earth metals come out of China.
Yes.
And so if China has a project, for example, building lots and lots and lots of wind turbines, which they plan to do, that could mean that they are going to have to keep all those rare earth metals for their own project, which means our supply gets cut off.
Yeah.
So the alternatives are you either find a different way of achieving your goals using stuff other than rare earth metals, or you start opening up rare earth metal mines in other locations. But as people have found out, that ain't cheap.
Yeah, that's true.
At least not as cheap as it's done in China.
Right.
So that's a good one. How about, thanks. Here's one that's very specific.
Mm-hmm.
Lightpeak debuts in 2011.
Really?
Yeah, and then we start to really see, it's kind of similar to the battle between LTE and WiMAX.
Mm-hmm.
We see the battle between Lightpeak and USB 3.0. And some would say that Intel has dragged its feet in incorporating USB technology into its chipsets, specifically in order to give Lightpeak an advantage.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, granted that's an allegation. I don't have really an opinion on that one way or the other, but I will say that looking into the Lightpeak technology, this is again another data transmission technology where you're transferring data from one device to another.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazingly fast. I mean, it's so fast that it's hard for me to wrap my mind around it because you're thinking about like moving the equivalent of a full Blu-ray disc to another device. in just a few seconds.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's amazing to me. But I think we're going to see that really take off in 2011. It may not be in any consumer devices, but I think we're going to finally get out of – it'll get out of the lab.
All right, then.
In fact, I would love to see – that at CES.
Yeah.
If I saw, if they had at the Intel booth, if they had a section devoted to LightPeak technology and showed a working LightPeak system, I'd be like, well, I'll just be here for the rest of the day.
All right. You know, those were all my flashy, or the flashiest of my predictions.
Okay.
And I'm not sure the last one was that flashy, because the only one that I have left on my list that I made was that HDTV prices are just going to stagnate. I think they're getting to the point where they're about as low as they're going to get. I think they'll trickle downwards a little bit still, but the drops that we saw over the last couple of years, where they went from, you know, 2,500 to 1,500 to 1,100 to 600, I think those big jumps are gone. I think they're going to be more expensive than your average TV, but
yeah, I think some of the Black Friday deals we saw, where we saw 42-inch HD TVs going for around $400, I think that's pretty much the bottom of the barrel as far as price drops go. And that was a special circumstance, right? Because that's doing it for a specific sales date.
Yeah.
I don't see that. I agree. Well, here's one that's not terribly flashy either. I think in 2011 we will see a dramatic shift, really, both from consumer side and from enterprise side, a decrease in the reliance upon disks. We're going to look at more digital delivery for things like applications.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, this is a gimme, too, because we've got the Chrome OS and the Chrome Store.
Right.
We also have the Mac Store that's opening up in 2011, where you'll be able to get applications for your Mac online. You won't. Mm-hmm. It won't involve going out and getting a disk and putting that in your computer and installing it. You'll get it all over the Internet. I think we're going to see a lot of that, and we're going to see similar services pop up that support this. So not just places where you can purchase games, like through Steam, for example, but where you can play them, like on live systems.
Yes.
So, I think we're getting to the point where all that clutter, all those boxes that we used to have that housed all of our discs, or even just the discs themselves, that's going to become a thing of the past.
Okay, then.
And then, especially if you marry that with cloud computing, then you can have an account, right, with a particular vendor. And that way, let's say that your hard drive crashes or you lose all your data.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have this account with the vendor, as long as you can verify what happened or whatever, you could get another copy of it without having to go out and buy another one.
Right.
So you'd have to have those safety nets in place, I think, for people to really adopt this model.
I'm trying to think of something else. Do you have any others? I
got a couple of others. Here's some. I think we'll see the PlayStation phone, which has been rumored.
Ah.
I've seen videos of a device that is supposedly the PlayStation phone. It has a swing-out keyboard, very much like the HTC G1 and G2 phones did. But in this case, instead of it being a keyboard, a QWERTY keyboard, it's a control pad and buttons.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll probably see something along those lines debut in 2011. So that would be interesting. I think we're going to see color e-ink e-readers start to take off in 2011.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they've already announced color e-ink. It does exist.
Right.
So you think it'll actually become
used? It would shock me if I don't see some of that at CES, too.
Okay.
That would also be something I would expect to see. I think it may finally become time in 2011... we might finally start to catch up with Japan and incorporate near-field communication systems into devices like cell phones, smartphones, things like that, so that we can purchase items without the use of a credit or debit card.
Interesting.
But I don't think it's going to necessarily be widespread. I mean, there are a few places in the United States where companies have incorporated this, but they're very few and far between.
Yeah.
I think we're going to start to see that change in 2011. I don't think it's going to be sudden. I don't think it's going to be overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of 2011, it may be just a tiny percentage of all companies incorporating this. But I think we're going to start to finally see that shift.
Okay, then. All right. So do you think we're finally going to see Duke for real?
Ooh, that's right. 2011, we're supposed to finally get Duke Nukem Forever. Okay,
so I can't decide how I feel about it.
I'm gonna take them for their word. I'm gonna say that I'll be squashing alien heads underneath my big burly boot by the middle of 2011.
Okay, I agree with you. I think they're really gonna do it.
All right, I've got a question for you. This is a follow up from last year's predictions.
Okay.
Do you think I'm still gonna have the same computer by this time next year?
No. I'm pretty sure it will be completely unusable
from
by this
your
time next
lips
year.
To IT's ears.
I think they're doing it. Never mind. I think they have a candid camera at your desk and are just watching you.
They've already interfered with our podcast before. There is a history where they went in and
true
put
enough.
In an effect. So
true
I
enough.
Know that they at least listen. Izzy, please, come on. I'm begging you. Please, how many keys do I need to lose before this thing becomes impossible to run? All right, well.
So, you know, I think it's going to be a pretty laid-back year. And I was trying to think, remember in our podcast on the predictions from last year,
uh-huh.
I started trying to think of some, you know, crazy, outrageous stuff. That stuff is just so hard to predict.
Yeah, you never, I mean,
and, you know, like
the,
Steve Jobs stepping down
or
you know, something like that.
The driverless Google car.
Yeah.
I mean, that was so out of
it's hard
nowhere
to say any of that stuff is.
We wouldn't be able to, like, I mean, are you going to predict that Apple's going to come out with a driverless airplane? I mean, it's just, it's like, we could just spout off crazy things, but, you know, there's no basis for that.
There are going to be a lot of stories like that we had no bearing on.
At the end of 2011, I'm sure we'll do a show where we talk about the big stories that we did not predict at all. And they'll probably be major things. And we might even be able to say, hey, you know, if we had really looked really deep into the tech news that was around at the end of 2010, we could have predicted this.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
we won't. Because we're done.
Right.
We're over. This is finished. This is the end of this episode. Tech stuff's not done. Just this episode.
All right.
So I predict we'll have an awesome year of tech stuff podcasts in 2011. And hopefully that will come true. If you guys have any cool predictions or you want to take issue with something that Chris or I said, you can do so on Facebook or Twitter. Our handle there is TechStuffHSW at both Facebook and Twitter. Or you can email us. That address is TechStuff@HowStuffWorks.com. Chris and I will talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. To learn more about the podcast, click on the podcast icon in the upper right corner of our homepage. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.